Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about the meanings of friendship. So please feel free to participate or to just listen. And so let me introduce my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic, thank you. How are you, David?
I'm doing well. It's been kind of a busy day, and this is a nice way to wind down, and I am going to have to end promptly at 8:30, and I think it's my turn to do the meditation. Isn't that correct?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, very good. Well, I will segue into that around 20 minutes past the hour. And I see that we have Eleanor in the studio tonight. Hello, Eleanor. Your mic isn't live yet, but I wanted to acknowledge you, and we will come to you later in the show. So, Kat, what would you like to say about friendship?
It's not the most important. I don't know if you could put it as the most important relationship that we have in our lives. I would put it as equally as important as the relationship, other relationships that we have in our lives that are significant, such as romantic, parental, siblings. It would be up there with them. And the reason being is that you can be a different kind of yourself when you're with your friends than you can, say, when you're with your parents. You can reveal a more relaxed side of yourself when you're with your friends. And unless you have a friendship-style relationship with family, you will tend to have a more formal experience with them because they're the ones that raised you and you want to put your, you know, all the values forward that they gave you rather than with somebody who you can just slob out on the couch with and tell fart jokes, you know. So I think, and friendships open doors, don't they? They open all kinds of doors, which are really wonderful, and the reciprocation of kindness that happens between friends is very beautiful. What do you think?
Oh, I think so too, and when you were talking about the other kinds of relationships, I was thinking, yeah, we do have a lot of other important relationships in our lives. But ultimately, I tend to form friendships with my sister was my best friend. My parents became friends when I grew into adulthood. That was not a role that was appropriate when I was a child and when they were my adult parents and I was a child. And for me, the basis of a primary relationship with a partner needs to be well-founded in friendship. And I believe that's an important way to start that kind of relationship. So I just wanted to piggyback on what you were saying. I forgot what your question was.
I just asked you what you thought and you just said, so you answered it.
Okay, there I go. Yeah, well.
So we've been friends for how many years now?
Eight years,
I think?
Just about, because I've had my show for 8 years and you were one of my earlier guests. So I'd say that that's about when it started developing, yes.
Yeah, so I know the internet has brought such an opportunity for people to come together, and we would have never met without it. And I never would have had this wonderful experience of knowing you. And we've supported each other in our lives as we've gone through our various challenges over the last 8 years. And there's a sense of security that I have within myself, knowing that you're in the background, you're in another country, in another hemisphere, you're in the opposite season to me, you're in winter, I'm in summer, you're 20 years older than me, but none of that really matters in the scheme of things, because having a good and true friend is like having a good support beam in your house that keeps that house up. And there's a sense of strength within you. It fortifies you. It makes you feel safer to go around in your world. And one of the other things I enjoy about our friendship is if we haven't talked in a while, there's a security within you and within me that everything's still cool between us. And then when we do come back together, it's as if we hadn't, we'd only just talked yesterday, and we're back, we picked up where we started from. And I love that kind of friendship, because that to me is a friendship that will stand the test of time. You know, that means we'll know each other for this lifetime and many more.
Absolutely.
We probably knew each other in other lifetimes, because
I'm sure.
It was so easy to become friends in the first place.
Right. I think that kindred spirits, when they meet up, they immediately find a spark between them. And it's just such a comfortable, comforting relationship to move into. I've experienced that with a number of people, but it's a small number of people, and it's very special to me, and your friendship is special to me, and I totally agree with what you said about how, you know, some time can go by, and we just pick right up where we are, and that's the mark of a true friendship, I believe.
Yeah. I met up with some high school friends. Hadn't seen many of them in about 5 years. My partner and I went to high school together, though we weren't, we were just friends in high school. And we all went out for a meal, and we all just clicked and got on with being friends. There wasn't really much awkwardness. Some people closer to others, and that has to do with what the dynamic was between them when they were at school. And the dynamic between me and other people was the same. Some of us were closer, and some of us were had more of a friend but not close friend feeling. But it didn't matter, because we were all very much all on the same track of, hey, I've known you all your life. And we had a great time, and then we went on and hired an Airbnb house and spent the weekend
cool. Together
as well.
Nice.
And so, you know, I'm a bit of a solitary person, a bit of a loner, so I don't need to have a lot of people in my life to feel secure. But like I said, that having those connections, knowing that they're right there, but there's a lass that David and I went to school with, who I was friends with but not close friends with, and I think he was more close friends with her. And when we had our daughter Avalon, and I nearly died, of everybody who knew about it, she was the one who made the effort to get in the car and drive over to the hospital that I was in and come and see me. And that meant so much to me. And so when her father passed away, I said to David, we've got to go and support her, because she made that effort towards us, and we need to make sure that she knows she's appreciated
and
she's loved. And so we did. And, you know, that's the sort of thing that friends can do for each other, even if they're not, you know, you're not on the inner circle. You don't know how much that means to make an effort towards somebody that you feel an affection and a kindness for, but they're not on your inner circle. It still makes a big difference in their lives.
I couldn't agree more, and I think that it's important that there is a real symbiosis in friendship. Granted, it's give and take. You know, one person may have more pressing needs at the point than the other, but there's a mutuality to the relationship where it's important to try to help out another person when they're in need and to feel that you're going to get that kind of support for yourself. That, to me, creates a feeling of safety and security. And, you know, I have, with you, for example, and this applies to some other close friends that I have, there have been times where I've really needed to lean on you, and likewise, there have been times when you've needed to lean on me. And we do that freely because we are friends, and that's what friends should do. I mean, I hate to use the word should, but I think it applies in this case. And there was something else you were saying earlier that I wanted to comment on. And, what was it? Oh, you talked about how you didn't need a lot of friends to feel secure, and I feel that way too. However, it's very important for me to feel connected to other people. I mean, I appreciate...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate my solitude, and I'm comfortable in my own skin today, and enjoy being by myself, but we are human beings and we're social animals. And for me to feel connected to people that I feel close to is invaluable. And there are lots of different friends that I have, and some of them are similar and some are very different. And that variety really adds some flavor to my life. I enjoy it and appreciate it so much, and there's so many things that I could or may yet say about friends and friendship.
Yeah, well, I just want to clarify that what I meant there as far as my own needs with friends is that I'm an introvert, and so I don't seek people to always come over or to always go to others, and I'm not saying people shouldn't do that, but rather I guess the way I operate is it's more organic, in that I just sort of buzz along and do my thing. I have no... I don't worry... I don't have any real worry. I just know that if someone wants me, they know that the door is open, and that the door is open to me. And so when connection happens, it happens naturally and easily. And I prefer that because I know that I can probably feel quite socially awkward at times, and so if I'm having a natural experience with my connection because the other person's willingly, you know, rung me up and said, hey, you want to come round, or you want to go check out a movie, or we're all going to the park, you want to come, that sort of thing, I feel much easier. It feels much easier for me. So I guess that's what I was trying to say there. But I've got a kind of a list of friendships. Maybe we could go through
so
we can work out what kind of friendships are. I've got to bloody find it. I've just had it before. So work friends, they're people. If you've got a full time job, you're spending 8 hours a day with somebody else. They're going to get to know you. You might find that your work friends actually know you better than you thought. And in some respects, they may even know your subtle things the way a spouse does, because they've got to know you that well. They've spent that much time with you. They know your little noises, your approval noises, your disapproval noises, the little face quirks that you have, and the things that you do, because they're with you 8 hours of that day every, 5 days a week, and then possibly socially as well. So they're quite deep work friendships, and in a on purpose way as well. Would you agree? I mean, you've had a lot of a varied and interesting career, and you would have made a lot of friends at work.
Oh yes, and I became quite close to a few people there. In fact, there was a group of us that went out to dinner every month, and we really enjoyed each other's company and knew each other quite well. The sad thing for me was that when I retired, all of those relationships fell apart, and I couldn't understand that, because I thought that we were true friends. And this just takes me into one aspect of friendship, and that is that some people are in our lives just for a season, and that we may enjoy each other's company, get to know each other well, but it's not meant to be an enduring friendship. So that's my comment on that, Kat. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I remember something someone said to me, actually, when they retired, and I said, oh, how are you feeling? You don't have all those work friends in your life now. It's a big chunk of relationships that are just suddenly gone. And she went, no, that's all right. They were just people at work.
Oh.
That was, and
oh.
And I went, oh, okay. The same person says fond memories and has, we'll talk about a person at work in an admiration style, and that person never pulled any punches, and I really liked the way the managerial style or whatever, but it was always in a context of work. So I think some people see work friends with a glass door between them and their social life, and other people have that glass door open. Some people have it closed, so they keep a distance. So it just depends on what you want, doesn't it?
Yes.
How you want it to be.
I just wanted to say that when those friendships ended, rather suddenly, as a matter of fact, I went through a real grieving process. And some of that involved anger, because I couldn't understand why people that I had felt so close to suddenly didn't seem to want to have anything to do with me anymore. And so for me to deal with that anger in a constructive manner was I needed to feel it, let it go, and forgive, and come to the understanding that everything happens for a reason, and that it was just a season in those relationships. And likewise, there are people that come into our lives for a reason. And, one of those individuals in particular, a work friend, did come into my life for a reason and helped me through a rough time. I helped her through a rough time, and she felt like a sister to me. And so that was a really difficult relationship to let go of, but I'm getting off the beaten path. You had a number of different types of friendships that you wanted to talk about, so go for it.
That's all right. That's okay, because that's how important work friends were to you. They got into your heart.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's the kind of guy that you are, that you open your heart to people and you help them.
Thank you.
And, yeah, and because you've opened your heart, then you have a level of love for them. And it can hurt when you put a lot of love into somebody and then it's not appreciated, or it doesn't seem to be appreciated. That especially when you've shown it, and men tend to show love through action. So, you know, that would have been hard for you, and I can appreciate that, because I've certainly felt that sort of experience too in the past. But, yeah, so different kinds of friends and the meanings of friendship is what we're talking about today for anyone who's just tuned in. And so we're moving on to the next kind of friend, which is school friends. And I touched on that before with my recent experience with my school friends. And some of them are, like, I might not see them in 10 years, and it's like we hadn't seen each other, or we just seen each other yesterday, because they know you so well, and they knew you when you were a pimply, stinky, grumpy teenager, and they accepted you then, because they were also a pimply, stinky, grumpy teenager. But the fact is that they accepted you then, and they've got dirt on you, as you do on them.
Right.
Yeah. And there's this underlying knowledge. Yeah, I've got dirt on you, you've got dirt on me. And we're cool with that. And, you know, we're just going to have fun because we can be kids with each other. We don't have to have, you know, a professional face on, or a parental face on, or any of the, like, the big adult responsibility faces. We don't have to have them on with each other at all. And that there's something in that that's freeing. You don't need to be around them all the time, but when you are around them, there's a freedom in it that I really enjoy, because I can just let it all down and just be me. Probably not get too drunk as well. That didn't help last time. But there's definitely... Do you still have any school friends?
I do.
In your life?
I do. I have two close friends from my school days. And we don't see or communicate with each other on a very regular basis. But it goes back to something you were saying earlier that we had discussed, and that is whenever I connect with them, it's like we just start right off wherever we left off, and it's such a comforting feeling. And it's interesting because I had a number of other friends that I was close to during school days, and for whatever reason, we've drifted apart and haven't stayed in touch, and that's okay too. For whatever reason, that didn't bother me the way the sudden end to my work friends happened. I think it was just a kind of a natural progression that as we moved into new aspects of our lives and mutually changed, the connection just was not as strong anymore, and so the relationships became dormant. But I have seen some of those people too, and it's been nice to see them. It's just got a very different feeling to it at this point in time, or whatever points in time we became reacquainted briefly. I don't know if that makes sense to you, or what your experience around those lines are, Kat.
Yeah, well, there's certainly people that I've been to school with in the past and have fond memories of, and I've thought that that feeling was mutual, and then when I've reconnected with them in my 30s, I've realised that those thoughts and feelings towards me were not reciprocated, and it wasn't necessarily because of anything I did, but rather their priorities were different. And the way that they thought and felt about me then is not, they're not bringing that up and putting it to the forefront as something that they want to bring out. And, you know, when it first happened, I did feel a little rejected. But then I went away and had a think about it and thought, you know, well, they just don't have the same priorities in life as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. We're all traveling our own little journey, and we all have different colours in our lives and different shades of grey that we have to deal with. And, yeah, what may have seemed like something important to me wasn't necessarily as important to them. And I'm an adult, and I'm able to have the ability to walk away from that and not let it affect me if I don't want to. So that's how I've chosen to deal with some of these people. And in that respect, you don't have any anger.
Right.
Which only hurts you anyway.
That's right. Yeah.
So... yeah, so moving forward, there's the long-distance friend, which is somebody that may not live in the same township as you.
Like us.
It does. Yeah, I think we're
only separated by half the world.
I've got a long-distance friend who lives over in, she's the top of... near Manchester, over in England. And I connected, well, he actually connected with me in 2012 as well. He was a listener to my radio show. And he sent me a message one day, and it was a sarcastic comment about his own health problems, and in particular that he had cancer. And it was a black humor sarcastic message about his own predicament. And so I wrote back to him responding to his black humor with good humor, and the two of us struck up a friendship. And it wasn't until 2018 or something, well and truly in remission by then, that he told me how much he appreciated the fact that he could get onto Messenger and write some kind of black humour about his situation to me. I wouldn't take it the wrong way, and we'd have some kind of silly banter, and then he could go away and deal with his life. And that was his way of venting, and it actually helped him through that whole big, horrible period of cancer that he went through, and how much he loved and appreciated me. Recently, I helped him through his mother's death. She died from COVID. And now he sends me clips of Blackadder.
What's that about?
Oh, you know, that's an English TV show.
Oh, okay.
Rowan Atkinson is the star.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. So he sends me clips of Blackadder and silly cat videos and stuff like that, you know. And we just check in with each other every so often and joke around. And that's our friendship. So I would count him as a long-distance friend. And certainly when all this crazy COVID stuff has settled down in the UK, I can get back over there, I'll be looking him up and having a few beers with him, because he's a lovely chap. But that's the kind of long-distance friend I can think of at the top of my head. How about you? Do you have anyone like that in your life?
You.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I've formed friendships through the radio show. One of them that comes to mind, who's also been a guest several times, is Mary Blake. I've become very close to her. And I've become close to Jean Salch and have visited with her twice, which is very nice. I've never met Mary in person, but we talk over the phone on a pretty regular basis. And you and I talk every week. thanks to the show, and we've stayed in pretty close touch otherwise, too, even before we did the show. So, you know, I had some other long-distance friendships with people that I'd known who'd lived locally, who moved away, and then those friendships kind of petered off. So, you know, these are the ones, these three that I just mentioned are my long-distance friendships, and they're all very symbiotic and very pleasurable alliances, and so I'm very grateful for each of them. I'm very grateful for you, Kat. Thank you.
Oh, I'm grateful for you, too. Yes, and then, well, then I would count you as one of the next one on the list, which is the gay friend.
Oh, I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, well, this list I'm looking at, which is on HuffPost.com, so you know it's a legit list. This one is the gay friend. Well, gay or lesbian or whatever your orientation is, doesn't really matter. What I think that they're really trying to say is that this is the one they'll tell you straight. You know, this is the kind of friend that they're going to tell you straight.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look great, they're going to tell you you look great. If you need to fix it up, they'll say so as well. But I think that with my experience with my gay friends, one of the big things is that there's not all of them, I have to say, and I have experience with some people who are gay that they are dishonest, and that's mainly because they're not being honest about themselves. But by and large, because they've been through a bit of a rough ride, they're wise and they're honest and true. And that's how I find with everybody who's connected with me, who's gay, which is really quite lovely. And also being members of the opposite sex with my male gay friends, there's none of that worry. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to upright tell you that you're on the friendship shelf, because you've already got me on that shelf anyway. So we don't have to have the talk where I make sure that you know that you're never going to move further than the friendship shelf.
Right.
That's never been there. It never had to be there, and there's a relaxed feeling about all of that. And there's also, you know, as far as my spouse goes, he doesn't feel any threat. There's no worry about anyone's spouse feeling worried. You know, it's like a great win-win, really, because I can have the beauty of having a male friend and everything that you bring to the table, because the masculine perspective is fantastic, and it has a lot. You have a lot of wisdom and common sense and reason and everything, logic that you bring. But there's no real complications with anybody feeling like there's going to have to be some sort of romantic experience between us, which really just takes all the stress out of it. And then it's just a couple of mates, you know?
Yep.
It's easy.
It is easy, yep.
It is, yeah. And so I think that's what I really deeply appreciate about my gay friends.
I can't say exactly the same thing about my gay friends because, you know, there can be complications and misunderstandings connected to me having a gay male friend who may have an agenda. And sometimes that's something that I need to discuss to get past any preconceived notions that are not simpatico with me. So that's a slightly different perspective, but I can say this. For me, with female friends who know that I'm gay, and I'm very open about that, then it's the kind of situation that you talked about with you and your gay friends. There's no hidden agenda. There's no chance that somebody's going to have any romantic notions about the other, and it's very freeing and very comfortable.
It is, yeah. And it can just play out. Like, I would even say that there's more comfort for me in some respects with a male gay friend than there is with some female friends who are bi curious or in the closet. And I've had a couple of female friends who've made passes at me or made a lot of comments about how she can't go there with me but she can other girls and things like that. That's made me feel quite uncomfortable because I'm not necessarily attracted to her, and even if I was, I have the sanctity of a science-field delivered relationship that I'm in, and so that's to me borderline crossing a line with me. And so and when I'm with someone of the same gender, I'm in a friendship and they know my position in life as far as my romantic circumstances go, they should respect that. So yeah, I can get it, what you're saying about other guys who are gay, but I can also tell you that, and I don't know if you've experienced that too, I don't know what kind of vibes I put out, but I seem to have attracted a few closet lesbians in my time.
I don't know, Kat.
Yeah,
I don't know.
In the end. In the end, sometimes you just have to say outright, look, do you think that possibly you're a lesbian? Because you're crossing some lines with me and I'm not comfortable. So I've had that. But overall, I think I really feel very happy with my gay friendships.
Good. Let me just ask you a question. I'm looking at the clock. How many more categories of friends do you have? Because I would like to go to Eleanor, too. But I thought,
oh, let's just go to Eleanor. It's fine.
Well, just tell me can I hear what the other ones are?
Some of them are, there's friends through marriage, neighbor friends, the opposite gender friend who's platonic. So you're both homosexual or you're both heterosexual and you have a opposite gender friend. And they've written here the spouse thing. The spouse friend, and then they've written, there's no such thing, and to anyone who says the spouse is indeed their best friend, congrats on upcoming wedding anniversary. Well, I'm very sorry for the author of this, because my spouse is my best friend, so how can, if she's not ever found a spouse that she can have a deep true friendship with, that's very sad.
That is sad.
Yeah, but that was the one. So friends through marriage, neighbor friends, and opposite gender friendship with somebody of the same sexual orientation as you.
Well, if we have time, I'd like to come back, if you're willing, to do the friends through marriage thing, because that's an interesting dynamic. But I'll feel complete even if we don't do that. The only thing that I wanted to add was that there are friends who are lifelong friends. Perhaps that's what you were talking about with regards to your school friends. Lifelong friends are so special and so unique, and there are very few in my life that are like that. Actually, more of my close friends now are people that I've met since I retired. But let's go to Eleanor and see what Eleanor has to say.
Yes, let's do that.
Hello?
Hi, Eleanor.
Do you hear me?
Yes, dear. How are you?
I'm good. This is a wonderful conversation. And wonderful that I'm thinking of it with you.
Well,
hi, Kat.
I can... Go ahead, honey.
Hello.
Wonderful topic. Thank you. I'm
thank
thinking
you.
Of
I invite
friends.
I invite you into the friendship circle as one of the people I count as friends.
Thank you so much. You are certainly
mm-hmm.
my friend.
Oh,
I learned from my doctor this past week that music goes to your brain and sense and smell go to your brain. And he wants me to sing more. And he wants me to look out for beautiful relationships because they're just there for him to evaluate on my behalf. And I feel like I found a friend in him. He was treating me, and now we're friends. He wants me to sing for him when I come into the office. He wants to tell stories about my life, and I feel like I've found a friend. The other kind of friend that I didn't talk about yet are the friends that pass over. I've had an awful lot of friends in the past 10 years that have crossed over, and I feel that my ancestors are very special friends. I don't try to rely on them, but I think about their knowledge and their wisdom, and I want not friends to replace them, but I want to have that coveted co-creator experience with some people here on Earth, since I missed them so. I probably have more friends than most people, the kinds of friends that are take a bullet for you or empty their trust fund for you or give you a liver or a kidney. I try not to think that way so radically. I try to stay on the beaten path, but I really have some beautiful friends, and I hope some of them will organize so that I can have, like David, a beautiful musical career. I'm not a trained singer, but I wish I could get friends who like to sing, and we could just sing together.
Ooh, I
had a. You do?
Yes.
Oh, she's very gifted, Eleanor.
Yeah. I love singing. I have singing lessons every Monday afternoon after we do the show.
Wow, Kat.
Yeah, it brightens my soul. Yeah, it's the best. Do you sing?
I stopped singing for a while, but I'm going to start singing as part of my morning meditation. I decided to do that again.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. It just brings you up. Last week, I think I had to drive a half hour. I was somewhere else, and I had to get to my lesson, and I was tired. I was very, very tired. And I was so tired, I felt like I could just go to sleep while sitting at the stoplight, so that's how tired I was. So anyway, I successfully got to the lesson, and the invigoration was immediate. I sat down, I started doing my warm-up, and by the time the warm-up was complete, I was awake again and I was into it. It just picks you up and takes you to another level of happy. That's fantastic stuff. So I'm glad that you're doing that in the morning, because that will really set you up for a positive day. It releases so many endorphins. I'm sure someone's done some very important study about it, but it really does make such a shining difference in your life, as you can sing every day.
My family happen to be very talented people. We're not organized, and that's a shame, because I think we could make quite an impact on our neighbors if we organized. But my brother and my sister-in-law are starting a church in Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska, and I hope they become professionals, because they're just that good. My nephew has about 5 choirs here in Syracuse, and I get inspiration from him. And just about everybody in the family has a good voice.
Doesn't surprise me, Eleanor.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're a gifted actress anyway, so it's just as much that you're talented as they are.
Well, thank you, Kat.
Well, Eleanor, is there anything else you'd like to comment on about friendship?
It's very important to me. I'm looking for someone who likes to go to theaters and exercise and go to museums, things that don't cost too much, but they are very enjoyable to me. I'm looking for someone like that.
Well,
but I have an advisor. I have a chorus that sings. I have a club that I go to that I've known about since 1936. I've known about them, and so far I've been attending their classes about 15 years, and I have a music teacher and a drama teacher. He and his partner are like real brothers to me, and they take care of me like they were my brothers.
That's beautiful.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I feel very fortunate. I'm going to turn the floor over to the both of you.
Well, thank you for sharing, Eleanor. I appreciate it. And always enjoy your input.
Thank you.
Thank you, darling. Well, Kat, is there anything else you'd like to say before we move into meditation?
Just that it's this time of year, it's the time to reconnect with everybody, and, you know, we all have busy lives, and maybe we put our busyness first and we don't stop and think to reconnect. So if there's somebody that you are fond of, don't be afraid. Just reach out and say hello. If you know their address, send them a card or send them an e-card if you don't know it, but you know their email address. tell them hi and hope you're great and love to chat or love to have a coffee and see if you can't reconnect with that person. If there's somebody who's more into your life on a regular basis, then tell them why you appreciate them. And if there's someone that you know that you're not close to who's going through something, then just give them a steadying, kind hand of love and let them know that you're there. And don't be afraid, because most people will see that that kindness is appreciated and they will reciprocate in kind. So let's all bring each other together further. We really need to, because it's a crazy kind of world, and oh my goodness, there's no point in having any conspiracy theories anymore. It's all out on the table, just how bloody bizarre it all is. So what we've got is each other, and let's come together and give each other a hand and of friendship. What do you think, Dave?
Well, you know, I'm just going to agree with everything that you said, because I think it's very important that we do stay connected, that we reach out, that we extend a hand, that we express appreciation. I'm so grateful for all of the friends in my life, and they all bring different aspects of meaning to my life. And true friends mean a lot to each other, and they do whatever is needed to do to sustain the relationship, to help the other person out. And the only thing that I don't like from some people that consider me to be a friend is unsolicited advice. I think friends can tell it like it is to each other, but I think it's important to wait until the person asks for advice. That's just my own little peccadillo. And sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes a person feels compelled to offer something to a friend if they're in danger, for example, or if they're slipping into something that the friend perceives to be dangerous, like addiction is an example. So I'm kind of rambling here a little bit. I'd like to move into meditation. I have to leave promptly at 9:30. So if it's okay with you, Kat, I'd like to do that.
Let's do that.
Okay. Well, if you would all get comfortable in your seats, if there's any tension in your body, shake your hand, move your leg, readjust yourself, get as comfortable as you can. Tense your muscles for a minute, and then just let them go. Just become a rag doll. Sit comfortably in your seat. Close your eyes if you wish, and begin to breathe. Breathe deeply through your nose, slowly, and exhale through your mouth, slowly. And repeat 3 times. I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey tonight. I invite you to imagine a friendship that has been enduring all of your life. And if you can't relate to that, pick somebody that you feel closer to than anybody else in the world and invite them into a circle of light that you can see around you. Brilliant, brilliant, golden light. White light that has all the colors of the prism. And invite that person in and have them sit opposite you and take one another's hands and gaze into each other's eyes and without saying a word, let that person know through your eyes only what it is that you appreciate about them, how much you love them, what they mean to you. Just try nonverbal communication and see how it goes, and be open to receive the same kinds of messages from the other. Your closest friend, be it your lifelong friend or somebody who's come into your life that has made a strong impression of late. And so sit there and do that exercise for just a moment or two. And when you're feeling complete, simply say with your eyes, "Thank you. I love you." And allow that love to be reflected back to you. And now think of somebody who's passed over, who is one of the dearest people you've ever known, and allow that person into your circle of light, of love and light, and have them sit there and complete the same exercise with that person. Let them know what they've meant to you, how much you love them, how much you miss them, and how much they will always be an important part of the rich fabric of your life. And so exchange the thank you, the I love you, and allow them to be released back to where they came from. And so now get out of your chair and walk out of the circle and stand just outside the light. And now imagine that you're going to meet somebody who's very familiar, but who you have no idea who it will be. And you turn and walk back to the light, and you see that person sitting in the chair. And that person is you. And you walk back into the light, and you sit opposite that person, and you go through the same exercise, looking into their eyes, into your eyes. I love you. Thank you. You mean so much to me. I wish you well. And so you take the hands of the other you and you stand and you embrace. And that is the end of your journey for tonight. And so when you're ready, if you've closed your eyes, you may open them. and come away knowing that the best friend in the world that you can have is none other than yourself. And so I wish you all well, Godspeed, and have a beautiful night. And just to let you folks know, next week we're going to be talking about awkward family holiday gatherings, and then we're going to take a two-week break. So please join us next week at the same day and time, and then we will wish you the happiest of holidays, whatever you celebrate. And with that said, I'm going to say good night to you, Eleanor, and good night, Kat.
Good night. Make sure you like our Facebook page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And tune into David's other shows on Blog Talk Radio. And send us a message if there's a topic you'd like us to discuss in the new year. Thanks for joining us.
Beautiful, Kat. Thank you. Good night.